Welcome back to the Small Business Show. I'm your host, Lori Brooks. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. This week, we have a very special return guest, Rick West, founder and creator of Field Agent, ClassCheck, and GECO. Rick, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Lori, thank you so much. I've been looking forward to this day. We delayed it like a few weeks, so I'm really excited for us to talk.
The same. I feel the same. I feel like, you know, it's not even been just a few weeks, believe it or not. I think I reached out back in February and we've had one hiccup or another, especially on my end, you know, with getting the network and the show up and running. So I too am super excited to finally welcome you back to the show. So this is an exciting episode. I know the guests are super excited to dive in as well. But before we go into all of the transitions that you've made, I realized, Rick, when I had you back on the show back in 2015, I was not even asking one of the first questions of this show. So I am super excited to finally dive into this piece of your journey. I'd love to know, way back when you were a child, when someone asked you, Rick, what it is you wanted to be when you grow up, what was the answer to that question?
You know, gosh, when you think of the small business world, the people that are listening to this, you know, whether it's via podcast or they're watching us on TV, whatever it may be, when I think back to when I was a kid, I take you back to kind of an analogy. I'm a movie guy, I'm an analogy guy, parables, you know. So my background when I was a kid was a cross between Friday Night Lights and Hillbilly Elegy. Okay. So if you're watching this, I mean, Hillbilly Elegy, great book by J.D. Vance, was a movie that came out last year. Friday Night Lights is exactly what we think it is, a great TV series coming in. So I grew up in Eastern Kentucky. And so I'm probably the one and only hillbilly that grew up in a holler that's ever been on this show. And so as growing up, I always thought I was a little bit different. I knew I didn't want to work in the coal mines. My brother works in the coal mines right now. So he's digging coal to make sure we've got electricity and we can melt steel. My dad worked on the railroad. My grandfather's worked on the railroad and coal mines. And I knew I just didn't want to do that. And I always thought I would just kind of be a business guy of something. Now, what happens, and you know this as you see things in the news and you hear people talk about expectations and people you can aspire to. It wasn't like I had 20 people in my life that were aspirational that I could see running businesses. There were a few, but in a very rural, small area. So the first goal for me is that I knew I needed to get out. Mm-hmm. College was the way that was going to take me. So once I got into college, things kind of, you know, began to transition a little bit for me. But as that little kid, it was more about what I knew I didn't want to do versus what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until I was probably my late teens, early 20s, finally realized kind of that the trajectory that my life was going to go on. And so a little bit backwards than a lot of kids. Now, if you looked at my drawings in school, it would have been, I want to be an NFL quarterback, you know, play football, or I want to be rich. So, you know, rich or football would have been in it. But the business part, I always had kind of a knack for meeting with people, getting things done, doing things uniquely. People followed me naturally. And so that was part of the football thing and being a captain of the team. And so that whole following thing was pretty cool to see in hindsight how it was a part. And then it all comes into someone that can manage, lead, and drive a small business.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You really didn't sit there and say, oh, I want to come up and build a business. No, you had a dream of enjoying life, being wealthy, being a football player. And I do think it's funny that you separated those two, that it was wealthy or football. Why couldn't it be both, right?
Yeah, because I'm old enough that football players then didn't make a lot of money. It was back in the day. But you know what, I'll tell you,
there we go.
If I've learned anything along the way, and this is one of those, it's a tweetable. We could tweet this one, okay? And this is one, they could write this one down somewhere. But I think that success most often follows the path and depth of relationships. So what pulled me from Appalachia, what pulled me from this, the university of this little kid that was mispronouncing words, that had a really tough accent, that wasn't dressed the right way, for someone to come alongside to help me transition so that I would fit in a little bit. All those were just relationships. And so I tell the people that they're listening or watching this, I've never interviewed for a job. I've always been asked to apply for a job.
I love that.
So even as a young kid, it was start out with a paper route. I had a friend that had said, hey, help me. So I helped him. And then my mom said, hey, I have so-and-so is putting together these shelves in this building. He's looking for labor. Why don't you go help him? I worked all day long with these two young kids. I didn't realize the two young kids were the sons of the owner of this massive company that was across five states. And they finished up. They told the local manager, I don't know who that kid is, but give him a job.
Nice.
I was 15. I didn't. And the next morning I get this call from this guy and he said, hey, you want a job? I'm like, doing what? He said, well, we're going to figure it out, because the boss, the owner, told me to make a job for you. And then you just, you keep going through. These were these relationships that I had. So it wasn't a traditional, I saw and wanted. It's a relationship. That's why I encourage folks now, is that you never know when a relationship that I have with a person called Lori Brooks from 7-8 years ago could lead me to an opportunity now to be on a podcast or a TV show like this. It's all about the relationship. And so that's been really cool in my life to get me to where I am today. All about relationships.
Definitely. No, I agree. And it's funny you say that, because even though we didn't actually go through that specific question, when we spoke back in 2015 about Field Agent, we actually were talking about the company you keep. And to this day, I hope the audience is truly hearing this. That is the important piece, you know, one of those foundational pieces to this journey and to life in and of itself is the company you keep. The network around you is not just necessarily your net worth. The network around you is a lot more than your net worth. It is your opportunities. It's your ability to connect. It's a lot. So I appreciate you bringing that back to the forefront. So we had the opportunity to touch base with you again in, I believe it was later 2015 or early 2016, when we were discussing the launch of ClassCheck, another one of your amazing products that I'm positive. Actually, what I'd love to do is kind of touch base on the stats there. I'd love to know, because I have actually kind of looked into some of the stats myself, and I'm curious as to, from your end, and you know, from the actual numbers perspective, what that change has done for schools. So just to refresh the audience's memory,
this is terrible. You never want to interrupt someone that's interviewing and going down this path, but you know, we got out of ClassCheck.
Wow.
Because long story, but much like when we launched Field Agent, we were really far ahead of the curve on this gig economy. And what was happening with ClassCheck is that we were so far ahead on the technology and so far ahead on the privacy thing. More and more universities simply said, well, using technology to monitor and track student athletes kept getting creepier and more concerning, and they kept getting more pushback that you're in my private life. And it saved money. It saved time. It was all the things we expected it.
It
just pushed too much into the private part. And they said, we just are going to have to go back to the old fashioned way of having someone knock on a door and follow an athlete around to make sure they do what they're going to do. Because getting into their phone and knowing where they are, we were getting into way too many legal issues. So I think we were probably 5-10 years ahead of what we should have been. So we just kind of tabled it. It's just over here. Yeah. And we'll have to talk at another time, another day, about how you would revisit that. But that's as your the small business is listening through, is that it's okay to fail fast, not keep feeding something, even though you know it's a great idea. If you don't, and I mean, I think we talked about this before, the best advice I was ever given as a small business person, it was week two in my small business life, and back in 2001. Dr. Stephen Graves set us down and we were asking some questions. He said, here's number one advice. You're only as good as you invoice and collect. He said, anything that you do, if you're not invoicing and collecting, it's just an expensive hobby. And here's what happened with ClassCheck. It was an amazing product. Everything made sense. But we couldn't find the people that were willing to let us invoice them and pay us because they weren't willing to use it. It wasn't that my baby was ugly. And it wasn't that my product was not the right product. But I had we had created something that we could not invoice and collect. And you can't, as a small business, keep pouring money into something that's not going to bring revenue back in. And so we celebrated it. We moved on. And we went on to the next big idea that would allow us to invoice and collect.
Definitely. And I love that. And I'm actually glad that you brought that up and stopped me, because I think it is important for the audience to even recognize not only just fail fast, but no matter how much research you do, no matter how much you love a product, it may not fit the market at that time for whatever reason. And a lot of them can be unforeseen. And you know, no matter how much you love the product, and I loved the concept of the product, as you could hear, you know, I was excited to hear where that's gone. And I've actually looked into the stats of student athletes and how that's going. And so I was curious, you know, whether or not ClassCheck had to do with the improvement in those stats. And that's why I was bringing that up. So it's surprising to find out that it didn't work, but it's totally understandable because, as you said, there were a lot of issues with, you know, privacy and that scenario becoming a bigger thing. So it takes, you know, clarity and foresight and recognition to know when to stop and put that product to the side. What was that defining moment for you and the team?
I think the defining moment for us is that we had people using the product and you get great reviews, all the things we expected, right? It worked really, really well. But you reach the point where someone's looking at you saying, wow, this is really smart. It's really intuitive. But I just don't know that I could make the sale. I don't know that I could get the approval. I don't know that I could make it through. And so the hurdles were becoming so significant. It's like within field agent, sometimes when we're selling into the insurance industry, as an example, there's so many legalities and hurdles that you have to jump. You're saying with limited resources, let's go find an area that we can grow that doesn't have these 10 hurdles. And that's the part that we realize is that the amount of money that it was going to take to make this work, right? The amount of effort and hours that it was going to take to go get one completed sale, I could get 50 sales over here. And we just looked at each other like, this is going to take us forever.
Right.
And it wasn't because it didn't work and they didn't like it. They were just going to have to fight it and fight it. And I don't know if, you know, think about the viewers here. When you have to fight against salespeople and marketing folks, you have a decent chance of winning. When you start fighting against the legal guys, there's normally one answer. It's no. Heck no. Never, always going to be no. And so it's really hard to fight against that.
It is. I understand.
Now you've got a product over here where legal doesn't care. It's all great. And it's just a matter of selling. And so that was kind of the tipping point, is that we realized we're going to spend all of our time debating conservative legal people saying, why are we doing this? Now, if I was going to claim any of those stats you have, I would argue that for us selling and engaging, it brought awareness to issues that people probably weren't as aware of that they had, and they probably made some changes. So I think the awareness part probably helped a little bit in the stats that you're looking at, because people realize, you know, it's worse than we thought. We're not as compliant as we thought, so therefore we need to do some things.
I definitely feel like the awareness made an enormous difference. I don't know if you've checked the stats, but back in 2015, the graduation rate for student athletes was at about 54%. It's at 90% as of last year.
That's crazy. Wow, that's great.
So awareness is the least of what you did, Rick. So congrats to you on that, regardless of whether or not you put class check to the side. But again, we had the opportunity to chat with you in 2017 when you launched GECO. And I know GECO is still out there, helping small business owners and entrepreneurs across the board get answers immediately. So no, I know I actually check on GECO myself every now and then. So
that's good. That's a great segue into kind of where we are today. So we took that concept of GECO, of this, how do you simply type in a request and within a matter of hours, you get this data coming back. And what we started to realize, and this really started just prior to COVID, two important things started. And so if you're a small business, think through this conceptually, because obviously it's an apples to orange or red apple to green apple conversation, as if you can listen to me conceptually versus the details of what I'm going to lay out. But what we started to realize is that the Amazon effect of the B to C world, mm-hmm. You log in, you buy a product, you go to a cart, you click, you go away, has over the last 20 years created an entire group of millennial Gen Z people that really have been taught, I don't need to talk to someone to spend $2,000 on a TV. I don't need to even test drive a Tesla. I'm just going to buy it online, or I'm going to go to Vroom and buy a used car because it has a Carfax. And I mean, you have these industries, and today someone says, well, I don't even need a realtor or anyone. I just found a house on Zillow and clicked on here and I just bought a house online. I mean, so that premise is happening. Well, what happens if you're a small business and you do a service? We're 20 years behind. Because what happens from a services standpoint, what we started to realize is that, hey, I really need to do these ratings and reviews, and I want to use Field Agent. Let's have three meetings and get a statement of work and get it approved so I can spend $500 on ratings and reviews. Hey, I really need to have some pricing work. I want to do some insights to understand this product. Let's have three meetings and launch this project. And what we started to realize, Lori, was that I don't think you need to talk to anyone. So we spent the last 18 months productizing our services so that we've launched the Field Agent Marketplace, the very first B2B retail marketplace that has a cart. So now imagine you're wanting to launch some research, you're wanting to launch ratings and reviews. Let's say that you have someone that you want to go into a store to do some merchandising on the shelf. You go to our marketplace. You click, upload something, answer a question, hit your cart, swipe your credit card. In a matter of hours, like GECO, in a matter of hours, data comes back that shows pricing was changed. Data comes back that shows the shelf was set. Data comes back that shows ratings and reviews. And so we've started to move our model into a standalone marketplace that has amazing Field Agent products, but we're also bringing in third-party products to have it on marketplace. And so that's the exciting stuff we're doing right now.
That is super exciting. I knew there was something else. There's always something else on your radar, Rick. It's never a boring moment when I talk to you.
Oh, listen, that's encouraging. Well, yeah, so I was talking to a small business owner the other day, and they said, yeah, but they were in the cleaning business. And they're like, I just don't see how I could do that. I said, well, how many houses and how many built? Well, they're commercial and they're cleaning, 50, 60 buildings. And I said, well, what do you have to do to clean the building? I said, well, I have to show up and I've got to walk around the building and I meet the owner and I give them a bid and we go back and forth. I'm like, well, why couldn't they just simply log online and then they say, how many rooms do you have? What's the square footage? Upload some photos and then you price it and say, I'll do that for $120 every 2 weeks. He said, yeah, but I just feel better if I could walk the building. I said, you could, but you're already doing 60 buildings and there's not that much variation. He went, yeah, it's like two-story buildings or one doesn't have an elevator. I said, you have the questions. So imagine now you have this portal, this marketplace of cleaning, And instead of me talking to you, and I can't schedule for 2 weeks because we're both really busy, I could click, 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 get a bid, swipe my credit card. It's now recurring. And you start cleaning my business. I don't even need to see you. And he went, huh. I said, so I bring that up, Lori, to say that what we're trying to ride now, or what we're trying to drive, is the Amazon effect of self-educating, frictionless purchase is coming into B2B. And the services industry is ripe for this. And so we're taking our services and we're going down this path. And I think we might have close to 25% of our volume right now going through this marketplace. I think we'll have 60, 70% of our volume before you know it, where people at any time, 24/7, can click, click, go to cart, and instantly get data back in. And it's really exciting.
That is outstanding. That is really outstanding. I knew you had something else on your quick. You know, I told my husband that this afternoon I had the pleasure of speaking with the man who always has a new plan for big data. That's your new nickname in my house. That's it.
You're ministering to me. Thank you. That's so good. But you know, but it has been fun, because as your people are watching this, is that we didn't change the product per se. It's still the same results. It's still amazing service, still amazing quality. But to change the way people shop for it, that's been really fun. And we think it's a competitive advantage for us, because it's less friction to do work with us. So if you're a small business, think of those friction points that you have for someone to do business with you, and how can you eliminate those friction points? That's really all this is. And then those that have the less friction, it makes it easier. I just want to keep doing business with them, because if quality is the same and pricing's close, I want the best experience. And we're offering an Amazon amazing e-commerce experience for services. And so whether you're a cleaning company, you're a landscape company, you put up Christmas, whatever you do, why wouldn't you get to a point to where you can automate this? So anyway, it's been really, really exciting.
I absolutely love that. You know, we actually were talking when I had you on for GECO, we were trying to find or asking the audience to figure out new applications for big data and other uses. And you have definitely come up with an absolutely amazing one. I'm super excited to dive into the marketplace and see what's going on there. And I encourage our viewers to do the same, and definitely to reach out to you, so that if there are businesses that are looking to collaborate with you or become a part of the marketplace, I'll definitely, you know, encourage our viewers to definitely go ahead and reach out and do so. So Rick, please share the best way that our viewers can reach out.
You know, I think it's as simple as go to LinkedIn, type in Rick West with Field Agent, DM me. You'd be surprised how quickly I'll return the message or the call to engage. But if you are interested in finding ways to do research for your products or to engage, to actually, you know, help me by buying some of our products, just go to fieldagent.net, go to the marketplace and start shopping around. In a matter of minutes, we're going to be help you be successful. And there's a few people out there, Lori, that are saying, hey, I just need to make a little bit of extra cash. Mm-hmm. Download the Field Agent app.
Yeah.
It's the best way in the world to make an extra $5, $10, $25 this weekend while you're already shopping. We do a ton of free products that reimburse you. So regardless of where you are in your life stage, business, products, whatever you're driving, or you're an individual, would love to spend some time with you and love to help out your audience.
I absolutely love that. And I want the audience to know, there's no one out there who shouldn't have Rick West in their pocket in some way, shape, or form. Got it? There is an app for you that'll serve you in some way, shape, or form that Rick has created. I promise you. As you mentioned, Field Agent is truly what brought the two of us together. I was looking for that exact reason. Just kind of, how do I play around or make some random cash online? Can you actually pull that off? And Field Agent was the app that made that a reality for me. And I, to this day, tell people, you know, anybody that I run across, you know, especially teenagers who are looking for that extra cash, well, guess what? Why don't you download the Field Agent app while you're running to CVS, while you're running to Walgreens, when you're doing your errands? you can collect that extra cash for the holidays or for anything else. And, you know, people are out and about during the holidays. It is that time of the year. So it's the time to go ahead, download the app, make some extra cash for yourself. And if you're not downloading it to make some extra cash, pop into the B2B marketplace, check out and see if there are services there. Don't hesitate to pop over to Chico. Make sure that you ask the questions that you need answers to. So no, Rick, you definitely have an app for everyone. You do. You have a product that serves everybody. Business or not, you have something. You're the man with a plan for big data, like I said.
There's no better salesperson in the world than Lori Brooks. Thank you so much for that. And listen, if people are watching this, my encouragement to them, remember, being successful as an entrepreneur is relatively easy. Being significant is hard. So whether you're talking about your people, the legacy of your products or your company, that's the hard stuff. So don't stress out about being successful. You'll be able to make things work. Look at the significance long play of it. And next thing you know, you'll be on Small Business with Lori Brooks one day, having a conversation like this because of a relationship that you never thought would happen 7-8 years ago.
There you go. Rick, it is such a pleasure to have you as always. I enjoy.
It's fun. Thank you so much.